Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Yes.
We are in week three of 90 sci-fi month, no softballs. We are in our new podcast room.
I like it.
It's not really a new room.
It's just a new layout.
Yeah. We're on couches. The little one has her own couch, little pillow. I sliced my finger yesterday.
On what?
A mandolin.
A fucking mandolin.
Ooh,
I was slicing the potatoes for my...
Wait, what was her name again? Mandolin?
Mandolin.
Not Tammy Lynn. Or Brittany Lynn?
No, okay. Mandolin. I was slicing the potatoes for my potatoes au gratin, or dauphinois, or scalloped. And, you know, I was like, I'll be fine. I don't need the guard.
Slice.
Hurt. So much.
I bet.
And I was bleeding.
Pieces missing.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure somebody ate it today. It was probably in the potatoes.
That's cray.
Oh, yes.
No, it was just out the side. But I got my nails done and I had to cover it up.
Let me see.
It's like that cat eye.
Oh.
Yeah.
They look like Cinderella.
I think they look like velvet. They look velvety.
They look like the laser screen that you had in the middle school pictures.
Yeah.
Like the background.
Oh, yes.
Wait, yeah.
Is that the stuff with the metal flake and the
magnet?
It's
so nostalgic.
Yeah, so they do it and then they use a magnet to like push the glitter or metal flake around.
I think that's...
I did get the bad nail girl though.
Not Helen.
No, and she did not do a
Mary.
Good job. Yeah, did not do a good job. But
you don't want Mary.
No,
she's subpar Mary.
Get your shit together.
She rushes Mary. And she is not gentle.
You want Amy. Amy's rough, but she's
but
good.
Nice
but she's good. She is like burned into my fucking skin. And then she's like, what happened? I'm like, you did it. I didn't do it.
Mary said that to you?
Yeah, because she like, you know when they like use the drill and they go around your cuticles? Well, she clipped it and it was like, it wasn't bleeding, but it was like irritated. And she was like, what happened? I was like, I don't know. What happened?
You bitch.
You did it. I didn't do it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So.
Do they miss me?
They didn't say anything.
They didn't say anything?
They were very busy when I went there.
Too busy for your
I'm offended.
Ass.
They didn't ask where you were.
They asked me every time where you are if I went in.
They like them more.
I am a very good tipper.
Yeah, I tip good.
I know you do.
I mean, perhaps it would be said that like Allie's the captain of this Starfleet and you're the supporting.
I guess he's tired of our nails.
Yeah, he doesn't want us to talk about nails anymore.
Banter over.
Well, last time, you know, when I tried it, you were like, oh, now you just forced it. So I went with it. I went with a natural thing.
It was a great one.
So
Tammy, it is your turn for 90 sci-fi month. You notoriously hate this theme. So tell us about your pick for this turd of a month.
What the fuck?
I would just like to compliment you on your editing skills from last month.
Oh,
last
when I week's episode. When I cut out your two's little bitch fest fight?
Yeah.
I know.
I couldn't even tell about my disdain for this month's movies due to your editing skills. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yes. Yeah, it's true. I'd rather watch other A-list sci-fi 90s movies.
Do you like any 90s sci-fi, or do you really just hate the whole genre?
I like 90s sci-fi.
Liar.
Okay.
I like Jurassic Park.
Yes.
I like...
Men in Black.
Men in Black.
Lame.
I like all the Arnold movies.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't let Matt pick.
Well, Total Recall would have, yeah.
That didn't count, technically.
I liked Independence Day.
But that's why I did Stargate. It's the exact same thing.
Plus, it has Richard Kind.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Cartouche.
I'm glad you picked it so that Matt could talk like Richard Kind.
Yeah, that is a benefit of this month.
We're going to get him on here. Thanks.
Richard Kind?
I think we can.
He was on an episode of SVU we were watching a couple days ago, and I was like, oh, God, your crush.
So I like some stuff.
Okay. But what have you picked, Tammy?
I chose the 90s cult classic, Galaxy Quest.
In the far reaches of the galaxy, a civilization is under siege.
We are all that is left.
They've searched the universe for a leader.
Stay tuned for scenes from next week's Galaxy Quest.
Never give up. Never surrender.
He will save us.
What they got.
Never give up. And never surrender.
We're struggling TV actors.
You are our last hope.
Where's my limo?
Okie dokie.
And they're about to put on a command performance 8 million light years away.
We are actors, not astronauts.
You are our protectors.
That was a hell of a thing.
Directed by Dean Pariseau and written by David Howard and Robert Gordon.
Oh.
So, what did you think of my choice? And did you see it before, Guido?
Yes, I've seen this many times. I like this movie.
Okay, Matt.
I also have seen this movie many a time. I don't share the enthusiasm that my co-host just had.
Great. He just hates Tim Allen.
Oh.
When he's Buzz Lightyear, he's great.
Yeah,
great.
Exactly.
I like when he's Buzzed Lightyear.
Ooh.
What, on cocaine?
Yes.
In that arrest video, or that arrest picture, he looks like Kyle.
You mean he looks like your dad?
Looks like my dad. Yeah.
Allie?
I had never seen this movie.
What?
I know. I had never seen it, and I can't believe I hadn't, because...
You missed it.
My mom loves it, and I feel like it's right up my alley, but I just never watched it. And then I feel like it was one of those movies where, like, I'm just not going to watch it. I was excited to finally watch it.
I mean, you were too busy fangirling about... Joshua Jackson or something.
Oh, yeah, God, probably. Yes.
While your mom was watching it downstairs, you were upstairs just like, Ermerger!
Ermerger! Ermerger! Too much time dedicated to watching Urban Legend.
Ermerger!
But Sigourney's in it.
I know.
You like all things.
I do like Sigourney. All things Sigourney.
Sigourney was like a last minute cast because Sigourney's done lots of sci-fi.
She was a missing piece.
Sci-fi queen.
Like, yeah, and she was like, if anybody could do this movie, it would be me because I...
Ultimate done, final girl.
Yeah.
She's science my bitch. Favorite final
I mean,
girl.
She, yeah,
yeah.
She's so smart.
She's the ultimate science fiction...
Titties like, be tittying in this movie.
When it comes to, I Great feel like, boobs. Mount Rushmore's... She's
classic final girl. She's right she's there. In the top four. Yeah. Jamie yeah. Lee, Sigourney.
So the characters are a little confusing in this movie because
of their alien
it's
names.
It's an actor who's playing an actor who's playing a character.
Yes.
Right.
So they have lots of names.
It's an Inception.
You just want to call them by their actor name?
I don't know. I wrote lots of like names in my notes.
You're all
so
over
you
the
guys
place.
Are just going to have to we'll buckle up, partner.
We'll deal with it.
We're roll
going over. Into the galaxy.
To try and
to
sound,
infinity and
to
beyond.
To try and sound like one of the characters in this movie, I'm thrilled.
I'm thrilled.
Like
he's my favorite one.
Oh. Well, it's just the disdain is just...
He does it really
I'm well. A Shakespearean actor doing this. And, you know, he is a Shakespearean actor.
He is.
Well,
they're referring was. To
yeah.
Alan Rickman, who plays Dr. Lazarus. Who plays Sir Alexander Dane.
Sir Alexander Sir, Dane.
I should rephrase. Alan Rickman plays Sir Alexander Dane, who plays Dr. Lazarus on Galaxy Quest.
Okay.
The movie starts out where Guy Fleegman, who is played by Sam Rockwell.
Love Sam Rockwell.
What a great name.
Is
Guy Fleegman.
Guy, he's just a guy.
So
he's
Sam Rockwell.
He's
That's a great
a
name, too.
I mean, the funniest part is, I mean, we didn't say, you don't know his last name, like, until the end of the movie.
Oh, that's right. You don't know his name.
because he was basically, Guy is literally what is equivalent to a red shirt, where it's like on Star Trek, three people would go down, Jim, Spock, and Bones, and a red shirt. Three of them were coming back up, but it was Jim, Spock, and Kirk.
Yeah, the red shirt always dies. Yeah.
Yeah, and in the show, in Galaxy Quest, the show, Guy Fleegman says, I'm crew member 5. So, and then he ends up being killed in the first 3 minutes of his episode. So, but he is the host of this Galaxy Quest fan club event. The Questerians... Those are Galaxy Quest fans. Questerians. Have traveled far and wide to see the celebrated crew of the NSEA Protector. Guy's character was killed by a lava monster during the first episode. And he's having to repeat old episodes to try and bide time. While the crew of the NSEA Protector is in the dressing room watching the paint dry on the wall waiting for actor Jason Nesmith, who plays the captain.
And that's Tim Allen, right?
And that's Tim Allen.
That's Tim Allen, yeah.
Yes.
Douche. Total.
So, Tim Allen plays Commander Peter, Quincy, Tager.
He's a winner. Winners get to do
As
what they
he
want.
Enters the stage.
He's the
he's Shatner.
Yeah, he's the Shatner caricature.
Mm-hmm.
His Shat does not stink.
And my mom loves the Shat.
Gwen DeMarco, played by Sigourney Weaver. She plays the sexy communications person.
Boy, does
because she. All she does is repeat the computer.
Uhura.
She has one Uhura. Job.
She should rock. Do it. She should rock blonde hair more often. She looks great as a blonde.
It looks so good.
It looks so good.
Her character on Galaxy Quest, their name is Tawny, Lieutenant Tawny Madison.
Tawny?
You'll never hear that name again.
No. Well, I just feel...
They call her Gwen a lot.
Gwen, and I just feel like Tawny, outside of being like an 80s video vixen, like, who's named Tawny?
And then Dr. Alexander Dane, as I said, playing Dr. Lazarus, who is an alien... played by Alan Rickman.
He's got a giant hog named Grabthar's Hammer.
He's got some really cool, like, brain hair prosthetic.
Yeah, it's like a big prosthetic, yeah.
Yeah, so I love his brain hair.
I love how he never takes it off the entirety of the movie.
And it's breaking. Like, throughout the movie, his hair starts poking out. His latex is degrading.
He's a trained Shakespearean actor.
But also, it's like, when you go to these cons... They don't dress up as their characters.
Well, he does. He has to.
Like, he's in full makeup.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand wearing the shirts or something, but he is in full makeup, mm-hmm. and that never happens at a con.
Yeah, Dave, like...
He takes it seriously.
Yeah, David Tennant, when we went and met him, he was just wearing jeans.
He was just wearing jeans. He wasn't dressed as the Doctor.
Matt Smith, same way.
And then we have Fred Kwan, who plays Engineer Tech Sergeant Chen, who is played by Tony Shalhoub.
Great. So, love Tony Shalhoub.
He's Asian in this
movie? Yeah, I was about to say, Kwan Ken Shalhoub.
I love Tony Shalhoub.
Well, who doesn't love Monk?
Yes.
I never watched Monk, but...
For some reason,
you chose not to watch Monk. You chose not to watch this movie. What else have you chosen not to watch? Is it a long list?
It is a long list.
You just literally missed
of things.
I mean, you missed when USA had original programming.
Characters Welcome.
And it wasn't just SVU reruns all the time.
How many reruns of Trixie and Katya can you watch?
All of them. Yeah. All the time.
You know what? Honestly, yeah. That's all I gotta do. I just gotta... I'll email Trixie and Katya and be like, hey, can you watch Monk? So my wife will watch it.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't think so.
Is that who their partner is? Netflix?
Yeah, they watch... It's called Still Watching Netflix. And so it's the two of them watching shows on Netflix.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
They just did Love on the Spectrum.
I don't want to watch that show.
Watch Trixie and Katya watch it because it's hilarious.
Not demeaning at all.
Yeah, just watch them watch it, and then you literally just get snippets of it.
And then, yeah.
And they were
very respectful, because I was like, oh god, they're going to say awful things, but then they can't say awful things because these people are autistic. And they're adorable. These people dating are so cute. And I was like, waiting for someone to say something inappropriate, but they didn't. Well, they said inappropriate stuff, but
not directed.
But not about the people. Not about the autistic kids.
You should watch them watch the, what was on last night? Was it
Temptation Island?
Holy fucking shit. This is softcore porn.
Yes.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yes, they're all
fucking each other. And they're all like...
They're wearing nothing.
Nothing. It's all nightgowns. There's not a lot of shirts.
They have to play a game. And Trixie's like, let me tell you something. Uno is a game. This is a bodily fluid exchange. Like,
they're painting this.
So is the perfect match. It's just like this.
It's great.
It's gratuitous.
They literally had video of this guy in a three-way. And all you heard was...
Like, that can only be one person, though. There's only one person getting slammed like that.
In the perfect match that's also on Netflix, they sleep in the same room, in the same bed as their perfect match.
Oh, they've done Perfect Match on Trixie and Katya.
Oh, I love it.
It's amazing. It's so good.
Addicting.
Yeah.
And if you have Netflix on your phone, anybody, you can go on and they have virtual games where you can actually pretend to be a character on the show. And then you like, it's like Sims. I would rather talk about this than Galaxy Quest.
She's going to talk about
our movie.
Dear
Trixie and Katya.
Dear Trixie
and Katya.
Can you watch
Galaxy Quest?
Oh my god, I would definitely watch it.
I would have watched that. I just would have watched that, yeah.
And the last character, the last crew member is Tommy Weber. He plays child pilot Laredo, who is really played by Daryl Mitchell. So 18 years after the last episode's airing, the cast has had limited ability to find meaningful work. Everyone except Jason Nesmith. Everyone is resentful of him as they need him to get gigs. But he's always late, where he double books himself, and then they're sitting there like twiddling their thumbs waiting for him to get there because the show must go on with him.
But he's a star, so...
He's a star.
What are you going
to
do?
They put up with his bullshit because they have to. So they're working the event. They're signing autographs, talking to fans, like baby Justin Long.
Oh, my God.
Brandon.
Brandon St.
Another Brandon.
Another Brandon.
Excuse me, Commander. I would like to know in this episode when...
Which, by the way...
You put your balls on...
Do you think this is...
Too gross. Head.
I mean, baby Brandon St. Randy?
Yeah.
And then in...
So he got...
Zach and Mary.
You're saying he got rejected by Tim Allen in Galaxy Quest, and then this whole thing happened.
Then he went to Hollywood.
He was never able to get over that, and then he ended up in gay porn.
He started fucking movies.
Fucking movies. Not like The Wiz. It's a remake.
Less women. Actually, no women.
I mean, there were a lot of dudes in his crew.
Yeah.
There was one girl, though.
He is a baby in this movie.
Well, he's so young. She was a beard. So, he kind of, like, blows Justin Long off.
That was the thing, though, because I did notice that. Unlike William Shatner, Tim Allen's character...
is a dick.
Well, no, at the beginning of the... He was always happy for the fans, though.
Yeah.
He always put on a good show. He went in the bathroom, and then there were, like, two dudes that were just in the building where the convention was, and they were making fun of the cast.
Yeah.
Fucking nerds.
And then he got...
discouraged.
Yeah.
And then he became a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he kind of, like, blows off Justin Long and his friends who want to talk about theories of the show. And then...
well, science.
The ugh. Thermians... awful. The alien people approach Tim Allen, and he thinks that they're just trying to book a gig for tomorrow. So he's like, yeah. You know, get me the limo, have it ready in the morning.
Yeah, we don't know that they're actually aliens. We just think that they're possible cast members of Love on the Spectrum.
They're so special.
Hello.
Hello, Commander.
So the first, the lead.
Won't you please sit on my vase?
His name is Mathazar.
Mathazar.
Mathazar is played... by Enrico Colantoni.
He was in Just Shoot Me. Remember that show from the 90s?
No. Trixie and Katya, please let me...
And he's on that new show that I like, The English Teacher.
He reminds me of our friend Eric. Somehow Eric is this guy and Tony Shalhoub in this movie.
Stoned/drunk Eric is Tony Shalhoub. Sober Eric is Malthazar.
Yeah, that tracks.
Poor Eric.
I mean, no.
It's a compliment, Eric.
All love, please. Don't kick us out of the wedding now.
Yeah, I got shoes.
Yes, we got brown shoes.
I got brown shoes for this.
The second alien character is Quellic, played by Patrick Breen. Then we have Laleiri.
What's that?
Laleiri, played by Missy Pyle, the only female. What are they called?
Thermian.
I keep trying to call them thespians, and that is not what it is.
Wasn't Missy Pyle also in Dodgeball, and Justin Long was also in Dodgeball?
Correct.
Yes. Okay. But they don't end up together.
No. In Dodgeball, he's a cheerleader.
And she ends up with JP.
With JP.
Yeah.
It's a circle.
Grandma's boy.
It's a circle.
Tim has a temper tantrum and storms off, returning home to get drunk and wallow over his washed-out career and watch reruns of himself. So morning calls, the scotch was good, and he passed out on the floor.
And he doesn't have any pants.
All that natural light, you know, does wonders for your hangover. And the Thermians are waiting for him outside on his patio. They've rented a limo for him as requested, and they tell Tim their story on the way.
He has a nice house.
Beautiful
that
house.
That is literally...
It looks like the Hollywood Hills or something.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's like...
It's a studio house where they always use it.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it was like an LA Confidential. I've seen that. It's like with the pan, like the looks, open concept.
I think they used it in like Charlie's Angels or Charlie's Angels 2. Like that, Sam Rockwell lives in it, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's like, they use that house a lot.
Oh, Guy?
Guy? Guy Blow.
So they like, they beam Tim up on the ship and... They
Which looks
bring,
like fun.
Yeah. They bring him to, like, their command center, and they, like, Skype with the bad
Asterix. I like how they shoot people between, you know, the spaceship and Earth. They cover you in boogers.
Well, we don't see that yet.
At this point, they've just teleported them, basically.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, because he was asleep. He thinks he's in somebody's garage.
Yeah.
And he's just doing a private showing.
Yeah.
And then they're going to... you know, go around back and they're gonna Eiffel Tower him.
Yeah, he's just
Sounds
going
awesome.
Along for the ride. Like, he has no
in
idea.
More ways than one.
Mm-hmm. And then they're in the, what did I call it?
I don't know.
The command center.
Oh,
command
yes.
center.
The bridge.
And they meet Saris. And Tim
calm
is
down,
like,
guys.
You're
not a real... We already think you're gay, so stop finishing each other's sentences.
I'm as far as a diamond and an ice drummer.
Ew, God.
So Saris is like this green, Tim calls him like a lobster alien. I don't know why he doesn't look like a lobster.
Their hands are like claw-like, it looked like.
He looks like an alligator to me.
Well, just some sort of weird-ass reptile look, yeah.
And he, all of his people look the same way. So Saris has a list of demands. One is he found out about the Omega 13 and he is demanding to have that. He found out about it when he captured the previous captain, and then he also captured and tortured their women and other scientists and important people.
Yeah, Saris is just a bad dude.
You know who he looks like? You know who he looks like? He looks like a member of GWAR.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
I just think of like Empire Records when he's talking to Mark through the TV and he's like, you should join the band. He looks like that guy in GWAR.
Odorous Humongous.
I don't know their names. That band was so disgusting.
That band is awesome.
It looks vile.
No. They come on their audience.
That's so gross.
It's so cool. It's alien cum. They also eat members of the audience. We should all go.
They do it in Empire Records. He eats Mark.
I love the first time, well, actually now the only time that I saw GWAR. It was just after Pope Benedict was announced.
Yeah.
So then they decided they're going to have they had this big guy jump around like on stilts with really long arms, and they called him the Nazi Pope.
Jesus
so
Christ.
They were letting him like do, he basically was able with his extended limbs to like make a swastika, and then they chainsawed him to death and blood shot everywhere. It was amazing.
Okay. Disgusting.
Really cool.
What? They killed a Nazi on stage. That was cool.
Okay.
So, you know what's really cool?
GWAR, yes.
So, Tim Allen's character orders to fire blue particles and red particle cannons right at Saris's ship, and the Thermians think that they've defeated Saris. Everybody cheers. Tim Allen runs back to the, you know, teleporter, and they all say their goodbyes.
What do we know if we need to contact your leaving?
Well, he's like, I hit him with everything.
It's okay. I shot him with both barrels. Because, yeah, he doesn't know that it's real. Still just like,
Set phasers to A and B, fire everything we got. Bing, bang, boom. You're welcome.
Bob's your uncle.
Mary's your aunt.
So they open up the doors to the spacecraft. Tim Allen is wrapped in a blanket of jelly, translucent jelly, and he sees Saturn.
I like Guido's analogy better, where
he was
covered in boogers.
All of a sudden, he is launched from the ship in the transport medium and into a black hole. Only moments later, he appears on his patio back home, and his body is in shock from the journey.
Would any of you do this?
What?
I didn't have a choice.
Would you like
help
go from A to B via booger space jump?
Oh, I'd rather like the flu network or something like in Harry Potter, or like a port key. That's jarring at first too, though.
Because
Diagon Alley. Oh, diagonally.
Yeah, because Guido doesn't like the blink and you're out sort of thing, because remember, he thinks you die every time that happens.
That's true.
And you're close.
I do think that.
Yeah.
But like the booger one, this way.
That's you.
You don't blink out at all. It's just you're shot really, really fast, and you're, you know, faster than 30,000 G's, so
it's like hogging a loogie through space.
Disgusting.
You should be turned into dust.
They can also apparate in Harry Potter, but that's only when you're 17. Then you can
apparate. What the fuck is that?
That means they can like teleport themselves from one place to another.
They drink
but
an Aperol spritz.
If they don't do it correctly, they can get splinched.
I'm sorry.
Splinched? Yeah.
Isn't a word, but what does that mean?
It means that they, like, left part of themselves behind.
This woman...
There's this crazy...
Is it like a turd? What? Like, they left turd behind?
So, like,
this
Ron
woman
gets...
wrote this book with the word splinched, and she's now a billionaire and an asshole.
Yeah, now she has trouble, like, calling people... trouble with trans women, but she, like...
Oh, she's
splinched.
Going after...
She's
going
disgusting.
After asexuals now, too.
Of course she is. She's a troll. She writes about trolls, and she is a troll. Yes, but you can get splinched.
Speaking
of
trolls, we are back at another fan event. The crew of the NSEA Protector is again waiting for their fearless leader.
Isn't it a store opening?
Yeah, it's like a Radio Shack.
Like a staple.
It's like a Circuit City.
Yeah, it's like...
By Crab Thaws,
Hammer,
What a savings.
Every single time. Oh, my God. He is the best part of this movie.
He really is. You can tell, like, he does a good job of displaying, like, someone's soul leaving his body.
But that is, like, pain. What he always is like, to be honest. He's just a grumpy, grumpy man, yeah. You know? He's like that in Love Actually. He's like that in Sense and Sensibility. Like,
and he just rolls his eyes at everybody.
But he is really good at
it. He's so good. You can just see his, like, everything leaving his face because he's a Shakespearean actor that has to do this part.
Was talking about it with John last night. We agreed that we thought the best part of the movie was
Sigourney Weaver's titties.
Well, yeah, those. That goes without
saying.
They're
amazing. Spectacular.
We were saying Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell is really good in this.
His tits are nice.
He is also at the event, even though he is crew member 5.
Who dies in the first episode.
Dies in the first episode.
Way to monopolize.
Killed by a lava monster.
Lava's really hot.
It's amazing.
So Tim shows up. He is flabbergasted. He's trying to convince the crew that he was just in space. They think he's crazy. He also bumps into Baby Justin Long again, and he drops a transmitter, communication device.
Space phone.
That the Thermians gave to him.
We gave you this
so that
space
they can
phone.
Communicate.
He's Boost Mobile.
They've replicated the same communication devices that were on the show. So it matches the one that Justin Long had in his hand. Pivotal plot point. Don't forget it.
Oh, okay.
Noted.
We will not forget this plot point.
Pivotal.
Pivotal.
Tim rushes over to his crew, tells them all about it. Then LaLeyra shows up, and Tony Shalhoub is like, hello.
I love Tony Shalhoub.
Boom, then why don't you watch Monk?
Hey, when you're a hammer, everything's a nail.
I watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
So LaLeyra takes Commander into the Radio Shack to beam him up. The crew goes back to the van to leave the event, and then they say to themselves, wait a minute, we're not letting him do a gig without us. And then they run inside the Radio Shack, and LaLeyra was actually waiting for them to make this critical decision.
It's like, they might change your mind because he's done this before.
Yeah.
He's told them something ridiculous. You can tell that this is just all well-traveled road. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So she takes the gooey booger juice and covers the whole crew with it and sucks them up into space onto the transporter
loogie.
Device.
How'd she just like she a just cosmic brought all loogie.
That's a good.
Her.
I don't know. It's just science. It's just science.
Science, bitch.
What a stance, Tammy.
As their bodies adjust, the alien squids come in holding speculums and shiny tools.
Speculums?
That's what it looked like.
God. So they're going to be getting pap smears.
This crazy language.
They treat the crew member like the utmost respect.
They're like celebrities to them.
Yeah.
Well, because this is loosely based off of a Twilight Zone episode where this
the pig
guy,
noses?
Well, no, this guy is brought to an alien world to be a hero because they saw him as a Western, like a TV show, and they believed that it was real. So that's why they're treating this. They're treating the cast and crew. Well, I mean, the cast like they're actual characters because they believe. Because they call it the historical documents.
Well, it's like, I'm
yes,
sure, like,
that's what I was just going to get into.
Sorry.
I'm sure, like, not to, like, bring up the Pit again, but because Noah Wiley was on ER for so many years, and because he's now on the Pit, I'm sure there are people that go up and be like, can I ask you a medical question? Even though they know he's not a real doctor. And like, when you're on a show or something for so long, and you play a job, let's say, like, people are probably like, I mean, you must know something, right?
I mean, I'm not an emergency room nurse, and from the show, I'm like, oh, if you have blunt trust trauma, you're automatically going to do an ultrasound to evaluate for a pericardial effusion. Okay. So, the story is with the Thermians. The Thermians, their whole planet was destroyed, and they had to, like, reinvent themselves, basically, because Ceres captured their scientists and destroyed their women. So they cut their bangs. They've got little bob cuts.
The hair is a choice.
Then they obtained a, signal from Earth, and obtained these historical documents, i.e. episodes of Galaxy Quest. Mm. So they've studied the show. They studied all of the stories. They studied, and then they built their ship to replicate exactly what the NSEA Protector was. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they're kind of showing the whole crew. So they're like in awe because now they know they're in space. This is real. And they're meeting all of the crew and they're walking around the ship. They go to the command center.
The bridge.
They go to the bridge. And Tim is just eating this up. He's already been there for, what, 20 minutes? And he's got his own cool little outfit. And he's like, his dick has never been bigger.
He got the new outfit while they're still wearing their shit from the...
He's on that new.
So the crew is taken to the ship that they made that looks just like the NSEA Protector. It's like a little mini craft in the middle of the big ship. And then they also show the crew the beryllium sphere, which is like the core of the ship. It holds all of the power to generate energy to run the entire ship. Which
science.
It's science. And Mathazar gives him the tour of the ship. So Tim is trying to convince the team that they should stay and pretend to be the people that they play on the show, and this is the role of a lifetime. Then they get into the little craft, and Tim commands Laredo, aka Tommy, to take us out. And he's like egging him on. He's like, they designed this based on your character, so you know how to fly the ship.
Do what you would normally do, and it'll go where it needs to go.
Just do what you did 20 years ago as a kid on a television show.
Just hit some buttons.
So Tommy does his best. He veers way too left, and he screeches the side of the ship, but they make it out, and they're zipping around. But Saris found out.
Saris, who did not die.
Who did not die. They just pissed him off.
He's got an eye patch now. He's a one-eyed monster.
Over dinner.
What a dick.
Over dinner, they talk about Saris and how he tortured their previous captain and found out about the Omega 13. And that's what Saris wants. He wants this central power. Nobody knows what the Omega 13 actually is or does. Not even the crew.
Yeah, they just found it somewhere.
No.
I mean, it's the storyline of like every like sci-fi show. It's like, what do you want? What is it? I don't know.
The Omega-13.
Well, the reason why they don't know what the Omega-13 does is at the very beginning of the movie, they watched the episode where they were talking about it, and it ends on a cliffhanger because the show was canceled. Because, the rule of this movie is if it happened on the show, it will happen on this ship.
Oh, yes. That's right. Okay.
So they're back on this ship, and Saris... They're Zoom calling with Saris again.
Zoom calling.
He like demands the Omega 13, or he will destroy the ship. Tim signals to Gwen to do what she does, which is just repeat the computer. He does a really poor job of that.
Well, the red thing is going towards the green thing.
Yes. So Sam Rockwell, he tries to give him a job because he's never had a job before, and he says the red thingy is flying near us, and it's Saris attacking their ship.
I think we're the green thingy.
So Saris does shooties and their splodies. They take their little craft into a magnetic minefield, and the ship is toast. The beryllium sphere is fractured.
Oh no.
According to Tony Shalhoub, and irreparable. So they need to find some beryllium on another local planet, which they're able to do. The crew teleports with their jelly jam to
boogers.
They take a little ship down.
They do. Oh, yeah, they took a little ship down.
Because they got to get the beryllium back up.
And they roll it like a snowball.
Yeah.
There's these cute little space creatures. They're like...
Oh, the miners?
Not very nice.
The miners? Well,
they have a lot of teeth, so, you know, BJs are off the table.
Ew!
So, Alan Rickman has his beryllium meter device. And he's holding it as if he doesn't know what he's doing. They find the beryllium, and then they devise a plan to get away from the little miners. The crew gets on the ship, except Tim sacrifices himself for the good of the crew.
Very nice.
What a guy.
Everyone else gets into the craft with the beryllium and they fly away while I think it was Tony Shalhoub
beats
him up with their little transponder.
I love Tony Shalhoub's attitude their this lube whole tube? Time. It's just like, I'm really their happy to be tube. Here.
Lube tube.
Yeah, it's just like he's like...
Shalhoub and the lube tube.
He's just like so spaced out on something. Like
he's just happy to be there. And he's just all, this is all amazing.
He's just on Prozac, I feel like. And then he's like, yeah, I want to fuck the big...
Well, he's an actor.
He's like, I want to fuck the tall lady with the bangs.
Laleri.
Inka Tinka Begovina Nana.
They get back to the ship. Mathazar has been captured by Saris, who has boarded the ship.
This is not good.
He stands before them and he's... good. They strapped Mathazar. They taped him down.
Gwar.
And he's starting to torture him.
They spread his cheeks.
Yeah, he's stuck. He can't go anywhere. He's struggling. He's squirming like, around.
Help me, step captain.
He's
what
trying.
What are you doing?
My pants.
Why are my pants around my ankles?
Tim has to tell Mathazar the truth about who they are. Saris laughs and says, tell him like he's a little child. They tell Mathazar that they're pretending. Mathazar is devastated. So Saris orders to hardwire the reactor core to overload to explode the ship and to open an oxygen seal in a room where the rest of the Thermians are being held captive. So they'll run out of oxygen and they will die.
That is not good.
And then he wants them.
You don't want to suck oxygen out of a spaceship.
That's right.
You want to keep the oxygen in the spaceship because of science.
Right. And then release the crew into space. So that they will not be able to
How would
also.
They release the crew into space?
It would happen really, really fast.
Pause.
Regardless of the size of the room, it would happen really fast.
So fast.
That room was big.
Yeah.
You saw it. It went, like, because there were so many Thermians on that
But
thing.
See, that was the barracks and not an airlock. So they slowly released the air
It was in the center of the ship, though.
That's what I'm saying.
So, estimated 9 minutes... of time till explosion.
I love a countdown in a sci-fi movie, especially if there's like a robot-y voice like yelling at you.
Yes.
Like it's always my favorite in Aliens because I feel like Mother gets more and more aggressive even though the voice is the same, but it's like you now have 2 minutes to reach minimum safe distance.
I love it.
She gets super annoyed.
Love consequences from a sexy robot voice.
Mm.
I loved it when they did it in Spaceballs.
10, 9, 8, 6.
What happened to 7? Just kidding.
Stupid.
So
Spaceballs is great. Come on.
It's great.
I hate it.
Dr. Lazarus says his famous line, never give up, never surrender.
Wait.
I thought Tim Allen says that.
Right? Oh, wait, yeah. Tim Allen says that, which is provoking Dr. Lazarus. Dr. Lazarus picks up what he's putting down and starts a fist fight. With their sneaky eye gestures, they point the weapons, confusing Saris and his men, and do a quick switcheroo. And they're the ones who are released into space.
Yeah, I like this trope. See, the only people that in the entire galaxy/universe capable of lying... are human beings. And no alien has any concept of lying, so any lie... like
Saris has a concept of lying.
Well, he does now.
And pretend.
Now?
Because he's the one that was
not
like...
not the beginning of the movie, Matt.
No, Saris did, because he was like, tell them what you really are. Because he's like, you guys are totally full of shit. He knows lying.
Not in the beginning.
Mathazar doesn't know lying. Saris knows lie.
Okay.
Because Saris is a liar.
So Tim starts delegating out jobs. So Tim and Gwen are going to go and shut down the neutron reactor in the ship's core.
Well,
hot.
Tim, Gwen, and Gwen's tits.
They're also there.
Because they're out.
They're out. They're hot.
Yes. No, that's why I'm saying.
It's steamy.
Steaming.
Heaving bosoms.
Yes.
Which, you know, we don't really get from... Sigourney very often.
No, we get Bush.
She's a reputable actress.
Dr. Lazarus and I think it's who goes with him?
He partners up with Quillick. Quillick was hiding on the ceiling.
That's right.
He was in squid form.
So he finds I called him a super fan. Quillick is his super fan. And they head to the core sea to save the remaining population of the Thermians.
Yeah.
Guy and Tony Shalhoub's character, they go the opposite way in case Dr. Lazarus's plan fails. Guy and Shaloup's character come up with a better plan to defeat Saris's men, and he beams up the rock monster that attacks them.
Oh,
which
yes.
is pretty damn cool.
Grignac.
Didn't he say, yes. like, I want to try something? Didn't he say something along those lines, like, I got an idea, like, I really want to yes. try something?
That usually happens.
Meanwhile, Tim doesn't know how to get to the ship's core, so he calls none other than Brandon.
Say Randy.
With his space communicator that he did a little switcheroo in that important plot point that I told you not to forget.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I forgot.
Yes. So, Justin Long guides Tim and Gwen through the ship to get to the Earth's core, or get to the core of the ship.
That movie where they get to the core of the Earth, that was an entirely different movie.
But also sci-fi.
It's called The Core.
But it was 2000s.
Yep.
Brandon,
it has Stanley Tucci.
I mean, yeah.
Brandon uses computer software program with schematics of the NSEA protector to get them to the ship's core through their chompers with the sequence 224224224224.
So cha 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 cha.
At one point, Sigourney Weaver looks at them and just goes, "Fuck that."
Saris's men. It's a really bad dub. They're onto him. They get it. So that then Tim shoots them with his noisy cricket, and they run into the chompy things with Brandon's guidance of the sequence and jump through the fire to safety. You didn't get that Men in Black reference.
Oh, the chompy things?
I did.
The noisy cricket.
The noisy cricket.
No, I didn't.
The noisy cricket was this little tiny gun that Will Smith had.
Oh, yeah. And it was like in the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I didn't realize it was called a noisy cricket.
I made that. I added that.
Oh.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I feel whole.
So Tim and Gwen do get to the ship's core, and they are able to shut it off, but it still counts down. So thanks to Brandon St. Randy, the ship will not self-destruct.
Yay.
So now they must go help the rest of the crew save the Thermians from Saris and his men. So Doctor and his super fan, they're doing shooties and splooties.
Love that.
Love it.
Poor little friend. What'd you call him? Quillick. He's shot. There's blue goo.
Lots of goo.
Blue goo.
Gushing like those fruit snacks right out of his little chest.
Oh, gushers? I love gushers.
Stop it, Krillick. We'll get you to the medical bay. You'll be in righteous rain.
Oh, my God.
And he dies in Dr. Lazarus's arms.
Oh.
And then he says, by Grabthal's hammer, I cheated on him and Thompson in Love Actually.
I know. Bastard. You never forgive him, but still.
Bastard.
Bruce Willis also threw me off a building.
He made up for it, escape. I'm pretty sure he saved that Potter kid.
Yes, because I wanted to fuck his mom.
That's true.
He didn't. She was hot.
So, yeah, he seeks vengeance. Badassery occurs. Tommy, the whole time, has been watching reruns of their show, historical documents.
Yeah, so he can learn.
To learn how to fly.
He learned how to fly, yeah.
And he's ready. He's got a ship ready for all the crew to come aboard. So he flies, and Saris is so mad that his plan is not working, that he isn't thinking clearly. The NSEA protector, he's just like, get him, like, follow him. And they're flying into the minefield.
And in his defense, he only has one eye, so he's already half blind.
Yeah, the depth perception is not good.
Yeah. So Tommy turns around, heading straight for Saris's ship. Tim heads directly at them. They fire at Will. Tim attacks the armor of the ship.
Who's Will?
Saris attacks the armor of the NSEA protector, while the magnetic fields of the ship bring with it mines.
There's so much science going on.
They
so
fly much science above Saris's ship. The mines go straight in because of the force.
Of the force. Boom. Of the magnets.
Saris.
Magnets, bitch.
How do they
freaking
work?
Freaking destroyed.
Science.
Yeah.
Science. Magnets.
Velocity.
It's a Breaking Bad episode,
F equals MA.
That's force equals mass times acceleration, but you're welcome.
I failed science a lot in high school, so I don't know anything.
Mathazar is alive.
I'm alive.
He thanks the crew. He will now be the new commander.
In chief.
I don't know, these people are really stupid. I feel like if this race got eradicated, it would not be that bad.
They're nice octopuses.
They're real dumb.
The fact that they were able to build this advanced spaceship and the spaceport that it was in, and this Omega.
But not know that they were watching a television show?
They got science chops.
They were so literal-minded.
And they're naive.
Yeah, there are people that believe that, you know, everything is... They don't believe in deception.
Yeah, like those lizard Solarians in the three-body problem. Fucking pussies didn't know what lion was all about. They found out real quick, didn't they?
So... Trixie and Katya watched that on Netflix.
Did they hate it?
No, they loved it. Oh,
that's awesome.
They
never hate anything
on Netflix because Netflix writes their checks.
Oh no, the amount of public tweeting that Katya did about that Emilia Perez movie. She even says it on the show. She's like, I don't know how I still have this job. The vitriol for that movie that she every day on Twitter was like, I just saw a poo on the street. You know what? I liked it better than Emilia Perez. Like, she would just like tweet hardcore about that stupid ass movie. She hated it.
I watched it.
Was it horrible?
Didn't watch? Oh, you don't have
Netflix? No, but no, I wouldn't have watched it anyway.
Who the fuck is Emilia Perez?
Just that one scene of that penis to vagina, vagina to penis song.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. There's P and V.
It's like a Pretty Woman reinvented story.
But there's P and V.
No, there is a song. This is a musical that Zoe Saldana sings.
Oh no, that's not the movie I watched.
Okay, I was gonna say it's not a Pretty Woman. I don't think it's a pretty.
What was the one
you
I watched?
Anora.
I watched.
Oh, did you like Anora?
It was a historical document of a Russian prostitute.
This is what I kept saying about it. I was like, I think it's good, but I need you to tell me why you think it's so good.
Yeah.
Like, I understand why it's good, but people were like talking about it like it was the best thing that was ever made. And I'm like,
I was surprised it was nominated for things, to be honest.
If anything, she annoyed the shit out of me in the movie. Like, I was like, this girl needs to stop talking.
That
like,
is
the accent.
Did a good job.
I know she did.
I think she did a good job.
I loved the one guy. It was adorable.
Oh, with her and the Russian dude?
Yeah.
I liked their... But it was just so sad.
It was really sad.
The little shit.
Yeah, he was such a pee. Yeah.
Yeah, so the crew, you know, Laredo is flying the ship. They have to fly into this black hole to get back to Earth.
The devil's anus.
So Brandon, St. Randy.
Just like how we're just calling
him
that.
Grabbed a bunch of Roman candles from his garage.
As one does.
Lets his mom know everything's fine.
At least he's outside.
Yeah, it's time for a wizard battle.
And then he runs to that, you know, Galaxian convention.
Yeah, how is this going on? Like, how is this going on, like, for like, it feels like a month.
I know. I don't get it.
Galaxian is the name of a transvestite prostitute.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson from,
Questerians. That's what it is. Questerians. I'm making up all of these stupid names. I keep trying to call them thespians and they're thermians.
Well, I mean, Alan Rickman is a thespian.
What is it? Okay, thermians. They experience hot and cold more than we do, or?
That's the characters. That's their planet, Thermia.
Right.
So they're thermians.
Yep, they have temperature there.
Mm-hmm. Or is it the planet Nebulous? Because I can go either way.
Just finish talking about the movie already.
I really tried.
Tie it up, Tammy.
All right, so.
Pinch it off.
The space.
Let's flip this turn.
The spaceship is guided by Brandon St. Randy's bright lights. His long rods shoot
floaties,
sparkles into the air.
He's
guiding
just shooting ropes up into the air.
Guiding the crew home. Boom, they crash into the convention.
They're just like, oh.
The door just doom, doom, opens. And the crew walks out on stage. Holy breasts, Sigourney Weaver. Tech Sergeant Chen. And Lady Alien.
And a friend!
Another
Seinfeld alum is announcing them. Denim Vest from the Festivus episode.
Ah, Denim Vest.
He's from,
He's from the Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
The commander comes out at last. And then we get a glimpse that Saris is still alive.
That's not good.
Motherfucker.
He has made it to Earth.
Well, he was on the ship with them.
Yes.
Because you skipped the part where he comes on dressed up as Tony Shalhoub, shoots everyone. Tim Allen then goes and activates the Omega 13, which lets him jump back 13
that's right.
Time.
Well, now that happens.
No, that happened before they crash.
All right, well, we're crashed now, so it's all good.
Well, now I'll detonate the Omega 13 and go back 15 seconds.
You'll have Allie edit it.
So that Allie can back up my conversation.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Tim Allen jumps He does like a forward jump, which I didn't know that he could actually do at his age.
He had a stud dick do it.
More shootsies and splodies at Saris, who explodes matter everywhere.
No, he didn't. It was a cheap little firework on stage. He exploded into nothing.
He disintegrated.
Cool. I guess aliens do that.
Angels sing, and the choir sings. The crew bows in a line, completing the most epic episode they've ever been through.
Amazing.
And then Lillary and Tony Shalhoub's character kiss, and they after 18 years, they filmed their first new episode.
Yeah, they basically
of Galaxy Quest, and the movie is
nostalgia.
Over. All right, that's my movie. Going around the room, pass fail, Matt.
I think I'm still going to have to pass this movie. I enjoyed it very much. The rules were followed.
Good job. Way to hold your tongue.
Thank you for playing Matt the Czar.
By Grabthal's hammer, bitch, you shall be avenged next month.
Guido.
Oh, yeah, I pass. It is my favorite Star Trek movie.
That's awesome.
I love this movie. Yeah, it's fun.
Funny.
It's just fun. I like when I'm in a mood for it. I just want a fun movie. I can put it on anytime. It's PG.
We watched it with the kids twice.
Oh, that's fun. Did they like it?
So wait, you watched it more than once and you still jumped around on the plot?
Yeah, because I was in thought and
this. To be fair,
it bothers you sometimes.
She's tried to do it like 5 different times.
I also don't. You know how bad I am with names, so I had to go back in my notes and fix everybody's names. And I still messed it up. Tam, you get a Tam. Allie.
Yeah, I passed. Like I said, I'd never seen it.
What? I'm just, I don't know. Oh. I was like, not sure if you were going to pass it.
Oh, no, I liked it. I like everyone in it. I'm not a huge Tim Allen fan, to be honest with you.
You did have some notes.
I was afraid to say because I was afraid John was going to yell at me because he loves this movie. But I said, like, I think it's fun. I think it's fun. And I think sometimes movies can just be fun, you know? But I don't know if it's any better than any other Tim Allen movie. Like, I feel it's formulaic Tim Allen movie. Like, it's like...
It's probably better than Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is way better than this movie.
Yeah. Listen to you fucking hags.
This is supposedly the rebound of his career. Like, I guess his career was in the toilet.
Well, I just mean, like,
this.
Take out the space and put in the Amish, and it's that movie with Kirstie Alley.
Oh, God. That
take
was so
out,
bad.
Take out
the space and put in the North Pole. It's the Santa Claus.
Take out the space. Like, a kid from the Amazon. It's Jungle to Jungle. Like,
I love Jungle to Jungle.
I mean, it's just, it's very, like,
what
formulaic.
Obligate.
But this is good. It's fun. It's fun. And I love Sigourney, so pass.
It has so many more characters, and I think that that's what makes it more fun.
Yeah.
Because it's not just Tim Allen being Tim Allen.
And the people in it are great, and it's the people, like, you, like, wouldn't expect, really, other than Sigourney Weaver, to, like, be in, like, a movie like this. Like, Alan Rickman is ridiculous in this movie, so.
And I got the feeling like they all enjoyed making the movie.
I think they had
that
fun.
That came through.
Alan Rickman actually despised Tim Allen on the set of this movie.
That seems, that really? that tracks.
Yeah.
That seems about right.
He annoyed the shit out of him.
I'm sure.
Sigourney Weaver kept her wig.
It's a wig?
Oh, yeah.
That blonde hair is a wig. She kept that.
It looked good on her. She kept the maroon bra, too.
Probably.
Girls.
It's a nice color on
actually,
her.
I bought it on eBay.
You did?
He was smelling it.
I have something to tell you.
He puts it on Shakiko sometimes.
It's not Sigourney Weaver's bra.
Whose is it?
It's a replica.
Oh.
It's some other sweaty white lady's bra.
Ew.
Are you telling me I saw stunt tits?
Stunt tits. No.
Stunt tits?
I'm saying that the bra that Matt bought on eBay.
Oh.
Stunt tits? Fail.
The bra that Matt bought on eBay was not Sigourney Weaver's movie.
I'm sorry.
It's just a used bra from another woman.
You've been smelling a sour bra from someone else.
Thanks, Phyllis.
Ew. Sour bra. That's disgusting.
Like a bra like you left in the washer too
That's
long.
So mean.
I got it.
I paid.
The things I'm thinking about Phyllis right now in her bra.
Why?
Her
are
name
we
isn't
doing that?
Phyllis.
Because I said thanks.
That's Joyce.
Joyce.
Oh, thanks, Phyllis.
Who doesn't live there anymore.
Anywho, okay.
Passes all around.
I'm glad everybody passed my movie. Thank you, thank you. Guido.
Yeah.
Let's round out your month. Quid pro quo.
I know you can't wait for this to be over.
Dude.
What? Honestly. What epic sci-fi movie are you giving us?
So many
what
options.
What are you doing? There's... I mean, again, no softballs, but if you wanted to do a softball, it's your month, my friend. You could have done a softball. You could have given us, you could have given us something with Keanu in it.
All right.
Like The Matrix. Or like...
Tell us, Guido.
Bill and Ted?
You're not that lucky, no. So I chose Johnny Mnemonic, and it came out in 95, and it was directed by Robert Longo, and it's got our favorite Keanu, and an iced tea in it, so...
This is love an iced tea. Our first Keanu movie, and where can we watch...
I had to buy this. This has been buried in the annals of film. Good luck finding this available. Yeah, for
it went into the Disney vault.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's a rent or buy on Amazon. I think as of when I got it to watch it for this pod, it was like $2.
But with that being said, guy, if you haven't seen the movie, there is a black and white version that is more in tune to what the director wanted. So I recommend watching that. And that is available on the Steelbook copy of Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh my God.
I just like to put out that it has nothing to do with Disney, and I made that up in the moment.
Thank you, Tammy. Relax.
You're welcome.
Please tell me you did not buy a Steelbook version of this movie.
Don't fucking shame me, you bastard.
It's his birthday month. He can do what he wants.
That's goddamn right.
Okay. It's his money. He can waste it if he wants to.
Not a waste.
Well, we are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month on our website or via social media. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.